Sixtemus ad salendum ut mens nostra concordet voci nostre. Let us so assist at the divine psalmody that our mind may be in accord with our voice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, less than a week separates us from the celebration of the high holy days of our salvation, when life itself died, that we, though enemies of his holy name and children of wrath, might be converted into his true brothers and sisters and live. It is in the providence of that same loving Lord that we should celebrate on the very threshold of Holy Week the feast of one of his greatest saints. Indeed, the spirituality of Saint Benedict, the great patriarch of Western monasticism, is an excellent way for us to prepare for the great celebrations to come. It is above all by uniting our heart with our voice, as Saint Benedict says, conforming our heart to the sacred rites to which we will be witness, that our participation will be most profitable to our souls and therefore active in the holiest and truest sense. The sacred rites of our salvation are not vain repetitions, but each of the sacred mysteries we celebrate retains its vital force for our salvation, for our sanctification. This evening, I would like to meditate with you upon a chapter of the Holy Rule of Saint Benedict, our patron, chapter 19, on the manner of assisting at the Divine Office. Firstly, however, let us consider two Lenten scriptural passages that provide us the essence of what our holy patron teaches. A little over 2 weeks ago, the Gospel passage for Tuesday in the third week of Lent contained the following saying of our Blessed Lord: "If therefore you offer your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has anything against you, leave there your offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to your brother, and then you will offer your gift." St. Augustine commented on this gospel by the beautiful phrase, "Non irascitur Deus, qui edifers imponere munus tuum, te querit Deus magis, quam munus tuum." God is not angry that you delay in offering your gift, for God seeks you more than your gift. Long before St. Augustine, the great penitent King David had said in the psalm which we repeat so often in Lent, Psalm 50, Miserere, "For you, O God, have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." These two passages remind us that it is the purity and humility of our heart that first and foremost disposes us to receive the great graces offered to us in the sacred liturgy. At the cusp of Holy Week, we are about to approach the altar of our salvation with the offering of our adoration. God will only accept and ratify our offering to the degree that he sees the divine image of his only begotten Son upon our hearts, because it is our hearts he desires, and not any sacrifice, great though it may be, without the accompanying sacrifice of our will. We would do well, therefore, to prepare to make such an offering, fortified by the sincere admission of our faults, that is, by a good and humble confession. No one may approach the font of life who has not laid down the sword of resentment, who has not cast aside the arrows of rash judgment. Let us remember well, our God, the Immortal One, has no need of our human strength, but desires the offering of our broken and contrite heart, as King David says. That is, the pride of our heart, broken by penance, its vices shattered by contrition. The essence of prayer is a lifting up of the mind to God. The grandeur of the ceremonies of Holy Week are such as to facilitate the practice of God's presence. Let the world fade as we enter Jerusalem with our Lord on Palm Sunday. In chapter 19 of his holy rule, Saint Benedict impresses upon his sons this very sacred presence. He says, God holds in his sight the good and the wicked. Saint Benedict tells us, though, that we must be especially mindful of this divine gaze during the sacred liturgy. How more true is this divine attention, we might add, during the holiest of weeks, during the Church's most sacred rites. In a few short days, we will have the privilege to be carried by some of the most ancient ceremonies of the Roman Church, ceremonies whose creation has been guided by the Holy Ghost, hallowed by the use of countless saints. They have been lovingly nourished by Holy Mother Church and approved and defended by the holiest of sovereign pontiffs. Saint Benedict tells us that this holy reverence for God's holy presence in the liturgy must move us, therefore, to sing with wisdom, Salite Sapienter. To sing with wisdom means precisely to conform our hearts to the very essence of the rites being celebrated. If we are convinced that our loving Lord watches us particularly during these holiest of days, when we follow the very blood-stained steps of his beloved Son, then we should be all the more careful to fill our hearts with the sentiments of the Sacred Heart during each of these holy days. To sing the divine praises with wisdom will mean for us to acclaim our Lord as Savior, as our one and true King on Palm Sunday. But let us acclaim him not only with our lips. Let him be King over all of our affections. Before we take up our palms, let us lay down our pride, presumption, and lust. As the subdeacon knocks at the door, let us open our hearts to embrace promptly every suffering that Providence sends to us, knocking at every moment of the day. On Maundy Thursday, let our hearts be filled with humble gratitude for the great gift that is the Blessed Eucharist, as well as the gift of the Holy Priesthood, as the Curator said, of the love of the Sacred Heart that perpetuates that real presence in our midst. Let our hearts be filled with the ardent desire to be perfectly united with our Eucharistic Lord, never to profane his sacred presence by a sacrilegious communion, always to be attentive to preparing well to receive this divine guest in our souls. As Good Friday reaches its climax, let our hearts be emptied of vanity, seeing the horror of sin revealed by the sight of our crucified Lord. Let our hearts so emptied be filled with the holy compassion of our Blessed Mother as she stands at that cross with invincible courage. Let our hearts and minds be seized by the tones of the solemn intercessions as the priest celebrant approaches God the Father with the blood of his Son in his hands on our behalf. Let us bury our pride, our lust, and our greed in the sepulchre with our God and King. As he rises, let us rise too to embrace with him a new divine life that lives and loves for God the Father alone. Each of these holy days bears a particular grace that our Blessed Lord himself offers to each of us. Faith brings us by these sacred rites to 33 AD. The blood that flows on Calvary flows for us still. The sacred liturgy is a living reality, and its most vital mysteries are about to unfold before our eyes. The divine presence is everywhere, said Saint Benedict, and the eyes of the Lord look in each place upon the good and the evil. Still, let us most of all believe this without any doubt, when we assist at the work of God, by which Saint Benedict means the sacred liturgy. How much more must we observe our saints' admonishment than during these high holy days? Each sacred text of Holy Week, every mysterious gesture and rite, bears with it the thoughts of Holy Mother Church as she remembers the wonders, she remembers the sorrows of her divine bridegroom, all he has done, all he does for us still. May our hearts be carried by this week's sacred melodies, far from the world and its endless noise, carried to the throne of our loving Father. May our hearts be one with our voice and also with our actions, that is, one with the pierced sacred heart, the divine word, whose eternal hymn to the Father is our salvation. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.